This is
Positively Hygiene
with your host, Amber Lovatos,
Amy Parenti,
and Angela Doe.
Listen on as we dive into the positive of dental hygiene. We are currently in Cincinnati. If you're watching us, we're in a hotel room. We're here for Closing America's Small Gap Wellness Festival for Kroger, which I work for Crest, for those of you who don't know. I'm a contractor for them, and I help them with some of their initiatives. And so we're here for that. I'm actually going into the P&G, Procter & Gamble, building tomorrow. It's, yeah, and a little nerve-wracking, just a smidge. to talk about my work. And so we came sooner than normal. Usually the events are Saturday and Sunday, but this week it's Friday and Saturday. But then they're having me speak on Thursday, which means we had to fly in on Wednesday. And we just got home on Sunday. We got actually Monday, 1 a.m., we got home.
Slept for a little bit. People don't know that. And then went to work for a full day.
Yeah, then you went to work. Yeah. I don't live that long. I did have a doctor's appointment at 8 a.m., so I was still up early, but not like you.
No, we had a pretty packed 2 days and then off on the road again. But I know you get this question a lot, Amber. How did you get to be a contractor for Crest and Oral-B for these Closing America Smile Gap campaigns?
Yeah, so a lot of times people are... I don't know what people think. You can tell me what you think, but... I think people think – a lot of times people are like, how did you apply? How did you find this job? I did not apply. So I started – when I graduated hygiene school 10 years ago now, which is crazy, I honestly didn't enjoy general practice. I didn't enjoy selling to patients. I didn't enjoy it because I didn't know what it was like to have like general like dental care. I grew up, you know – low income, and I didn't have access to dental care. And so it was just like a really different concept for me. I just really struggled. And so on the weekends, I started organizing community outreach events, from fluoride events, like screenings, oral cancer screenings, sealant days, helping recruit volunteers for sealant days, dental care days for children and adults. I worked with like a variety of nonprofits, helping them do their outreach work in schools and clinics and food fairs. And I did that on my spare time on the weekends. And that got me like a few awards.
But that wasn't your intent.
That wasn't the intent. No, it just kind of worked out that way. Initially, I started applying for scholarships and stuff because I really wanted a master's. I wanted to teach. And I didn't want to go into any more student loan debt. And so
I think a lot of us could really
like, I'm going to start applying for some scholarships and stuff. And then I got into teaching, and at the job that I taught at, they required you to like get awards and stuff. And so then I started applying for awards. That's a tangent. Anyways. So I just organized events on the weekends by myself. And then,
you did that, but you did it partially because I remember being involved in our local component, and you were the community service chair, and you really like transformed that position to doing how many,
two
events a month or something like
that? Yeah. So they had one event per year, and I changed it from one event per month.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. And then I got fired from that position.
Sort of, not really.
Not really. No, I didn't get fired. No, it was time to pass on the torch. I had done it for a long time. I started in 2015 with Greater Houston as their community outreach chair. And then, so longer, because I did it through COVID, because I was president start of COVID. So at least for the, 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I did it through your presidency and through Shauna's presidency. Yeah. So I did a long time. So I would organize outreach events. And then so COVID happened and I couldn't do the things that you normally do. Right. We couldn't do the sealant days. We couldn't do the floor care days. I mean, things were different. And so I did some other things, but we decided that we would like read to children. And what we found is that we couldn't find books that looked like us, that told our story, that we're in our language and a little bit of Spanish, a little bit of English. That's Spanglish, right? And so Maxine Cordova, another dental hygienist, another public health dental hygienist, we decided to co-author a book together. That's Smiles Por Vida. And so our book is not for profit. We don't make money off of our book. The book is truly for our education and representation. The money that we get from the book, the whole $2, we use that to then buy books to give out to the community. So that's been a form of outreach, continuous outreach for us, a little bit different form of outreach for us. And so then I got recruited during this time to be the director of a nonprofit dental clinic solely because they had heard of my outreach work. They knew how involved I was. And, you know, I was involved not even for like Greater Houston, but I was on those of you who know Mission of Mercy, I was on the Texas Mission of Mercy planning committee for one of their events here in Houston. I was the dental hygiene, person for that committee. I helped them create their pre-screening day for the Teen Mom happening in Houston. I worked with some great doctors like Dr. Frey with the Special Olympics. I have a lot of experience in outreach, and no like real particular thing. Like I've been in school settings, I've been in nonprofits, I've been in a medical clinic with my portable dental equipment. I got a grant from the ADHA for $10,000 to buy my own portable dental equipment and ended up seeing patients in a rural part of Texas. It would be a food fairs doing oral cancer screening events. I think had an influence for sure in the pursuit of teledentistry legislation here in Texas. I was the one who brought the idea to the Texas Dental Hygienist Association. And the first time they heard about it, I was the one giving them that mini presentation about it. I've testified for teledentistry. I can't remember if it was the Senate or once in the Senate and once in the House of Representatives. So involved in like legislation and in change and did a lot. I've done a lot of variety of things. I was a director of a nonprofit dental clinic. And so during this time, as I'm getting awards and I'm doing outreach work, I got an award from ADEA, the American Dental Education Association, which is the scholarship for dental hygienists pursuing academic careers. It's the ADEA Crest Oral B scholarship. And I think that's what was like pivotal. I think that's kind of what changed things for me. So Desi at the time, who was like their educator person, I remember at the awards dinner, he tells me, "Hey, you should write for dentalcare.com." And I was just like, "Who has time?" You know, who has time? And so I didn't pursue it. I was like, okay. Then I got an email inviting me to North America KOL Innovators Conference by Crest Oral B. And I genuinely thought that this conference was for all educators. And I was leaving my job as an educator. I was going to go work at a nonprofit. And I was like, well, I don't want to miss work. You know, that's a lot. So I just didn't respond. And then I saw Andrea Johnson and Desi. I love Andrea Johnson. And so at a conference, and they're like, "Hey, Amber, did you get our email? You're coming, right?" I'm like, "Yes, I will be there." No idea what it was. I had to Google KOL. I still didn't understand. Angela actually ended up asking her rep, "Do you know what a KOL is?"
Yeah, I did ask my rep.
What's a KOL? So it ended up being virtual because of COVID. And because of that, I ended up going on and I saw all these like big time names, people with like followings and speakers and writers. And I was like, whoa, I don't do any of that really. I did like a little bit of speaking, mostly out of application as being an educator, but I wasn't super like interested in it. I was doing a little bit more in 2020, but lit a fire into me a little bit. I was like, oh, I should maybe do some of this stuff a little bit, you know, get like an online presence because I had none at that time. So I didn't, but I didn't start there. I didn't start my online presence then. I had to be eased into it, and I ended up starting a page with Angela and my friend Shauna. But during this process, they do like these interviews with you where I met with a variety of like leaders in PNG. And they asked me like, what do I do for work? What's like, what my focus is. And so I told them about my outreach work and that was it. I really didn't think anything of it. They probably make you still fill out like this like link with like what you're doing.
Oh, they did send me a link this year. Yeah.
They don't send me that anymore. Probably because
they know you already. You're already on their roster.
They could be plenty busy. Then in 2021, Andrea Johnson, who has known my story and my work, and honestly, like, I thought that I was doing my work in silence. I didn't think that anybody was taking notice of me and my work and genuinely work that I did because I enjoyed work that I did because it made me happy and it fulfilled me. And a lot of times I felt guilty that I was receiving recognition and awards for things that I do because it makes me happy, you know? And I feel like, oh, like, should there, if I'm getting an award recognition, shouldn't there be some sort of sacrifice? And sure, there is like the sacrifice of my time, right? But genuinely, I enjoy it, right? It doesn't necessarily feel like work to me. And so it's kind of odd to be rewarded for something that to me isn't work. But Andrea Johnson noticed. I didn't know that she noticed, but she noticed. And she told me one time, she's like, I've been watching. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been watching Andrea.
And you didn't have social media at that time for someone to be watching.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even have social media, right? I was just doing the work. And so I think that would be my advice for people is if there's something that interests you, just do the work, right? If it's outreach, if it's speaking, if it's whatever it is, just do the work because you like doing the work. And they say, you know, you should do the work that you like and that makes you happy, not because other people are doing it. Like, you know, if outreach and public health doesn't interest you, then that probably isn't like what you should pursue, right? That's not what you like.
Yeah.
But it was what I liked. And so anyways, so 2021, she reaches out to me and asks me, she's like, hey, one of my coworkers is starting an initiative. And at that time it was called like, it wasn't Closing America's Small Gap. It was like bridging the small gap or something. With their variety of names. Anyways, mm-hmm. They're like, hey, you should meet with this person, Kia, and let us know, like, and tell her your story. And I was like, would you be willing to meet with her and tell her your story? I was like, yeah, sure, I'll meet with her. So I met with her and just like over the phone, I told her my story. And so I'll tell you all my story for those who haven't heard it before. This is the same story I tell every time. And basically I say that, you know, I show a picture of my parents and my grandmother, and I say, you know, just like me, my parents like to tell stories, so I'll tell you a story about a little bit about them. But I'm first generation Mexican American. My parents immigrated to this country before I was born, and then I say, like, and just like me, my parents like to tell stories. My dad tells me how proud he is that he never had to beg for food, even at 8 years old on the streets of Nuevo Mexico, my dad was working for his food. And my mom tells me how she had one underwear that she would wash every day. So if you think about that, if you think about the fact that my dad had to work for food as a young boy and my mom had one underwear, do you think that my parents had floss? No, right? And so as a consequence, I developed a lot of dental problems. The first time I went to dentist, I was 13 years old, had holes in 19 and 30, and I was in extreme pain. That dentist my parents took me to told us that I needed root canals, which my parents couldn't afford. So instead, my mom took me home. We ground up cloves, we would mix it with water, and I would stick them into the holes of my tooth, and then I would try to sleep away the pain. The time after that I went to a dentist, I was 15. My cousin told my mom that the reason my teeth were so crooked was I had too many teeth. So what's the solution to too many teeth?
Take them out,
exactly. So my mom sent me to Mexico, and for 200 pesos, or $20 at that time, they extracted my permanent, healthy maxillary canines. And whenever I say that, I always get gasped. People are like, what? Your canines? Yes. My permanent canines, I don't have them. And, you know, you know, ask my mom, you know, are, why is that? You know, did that dentist who like saw me when I was 13 not tell you about the resources available to your, yes, low income, but American citizen daughter? I now volunteer at a nonprofit and I've been volunteering there on and off for 10 years. That I would have qualified to be seen there. And, you know, she says, pues mija, en ese tiempo no te educaban. Back then, they didn't educate your daughter. And I always say, like, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that either that dentist didn't know about resources available to me, or they couldn't communicate to my mom in the language that she understood. My mom only speaks Spanish. But the time after this, I went to a dentist. I was 18. It's the first time I'll receive restorative or preventative dental care. I had onlays, fillings, root canals, crowns, extractions. So I don't have mandibular first molars. I don't have maxillary canines. I say I'm pretty sure I had some form of period treatment. And I say that because I remember the morning I would wake up and there'd be blood on my pillow and there'd be dry blood on my commissures. And I knew that wasn't normal, but I also knew that there wasn't anything I could do about it. So why complain? And so since then, I've become a dental hygienist, specifically a public health dental hygienist, first college graduate in my family. And I've organized over 50 community outreach events, 60 probably at this point. And so anyways, I told that story to her. And that was that. It was just like, okay, tell her story. Like maybe a month or two later, she has another meeting with me and tells me, Amber, this is going to change your life. You're going to be on the campaign for the Closing America Small Gap or whatever it was called at that time. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I didn't really understand what that meant. They're like, this is going to be life changing. And I'm like, oh, okay. I just didn't know. And so they were looking for a hygienist who had a story and who did outreach work. And so they hired a YouTuber who came out and filmed me for her, Thoraya. Actually, look her up. She's amazing. She's got like 2 million followers on YouTube. And the most humble person like I've ever met. So nice. She was literally in t-shirts and sweatpants. You'd think somebody who has 2 million followers on YouTube is, you know.
Yeah.
But she just like super down to earth.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they hired her and she came out for the weekend and followed me around. She followed me around doing my outreach work. I saw patients at a school that day. I then saw patients at a church, and then the next day I had an outreach event that I had organized at San Jose Clinic, and yeah, so that was surreal. That was crazy. Yeah, like have somebody hired to follow me around for a weekend. That's weird, you know?
Yeah, that's like on another level. That's again, for work that you love, right. Not anything you were going out of your way or checking boxes right. to do.
And it just, I didn't know why anybody would be interested in, and there's so many other people doing fantastic work, you know. Yeah. And a lot of times I feel guilty about that. I'm like, man, there's people who are doing more work than I am, and I, wow, what a blessing that I get to be highlighted. But there are other people out there doing great work too. So, anyways, they did that video that came out, and that was mind blowing. And then a few months later, I guess 6 months later, maybe. They reached out to me and they told me again, Kia, so that they were going to start doing these outreach events and they wanted me to come out and do this. They had these diversity events and I said, okay, sure, I'll come out. And so I did. And the first event was in Atlanta, I remember. It was for a CVS. It was a fantastic event. But the first day, I'll tell you, was a little hectic and a little unorganized. We were charting on those patient tray covers. That's what we were charting on. It was a little bit of a mess. And so Kia asked me, she's like, hey, how did it go? What did you think? And I was like, you want the truth? I'm like, she's like, yeah. I'm like, I think we can do better. And like, I didn't like it. And she said, okay, tomorrow, Amber, you're in charge. And that was it. Yeah. The second day, the next day, I was managing volunteers. I was telling them what to do. We found charting systems. It was, that kind of like changed things for me. And that was this is our second year. And we've done events all over the U.S. now. And now it is my official role is recruiting and managing volunteers, managing flow, taking care of any problems that might arise, but also doing media is one of the other key things. I think that the reason they like me and keep me around, it's not just so much that, yes, I have public health experience. Yes, I can tell people what to do. Yes, I have a good following that allows me to recruit volunteers. I'm really well connected. And so that allows me to get people to come out and which we need. We need volunteers and they need somebody to be able to reach that population. And I'm able to bring the people in. So it's that, but it's also my ability to speak. It's the fact. So when they have a media crew come, like news people, they put me in front of the camera. That's also part of my job is to be in front of the camera. And so being able to public speak is important, but also having a story to tell, being able to represent the brand, knowing the things that you have to like touch on. And so I know very key things when I'm going to be on camera. I'm going to talk about Crestor OB, Closing America Smile Gap, whatever the brand is that we're at the store for them. I talk about that. I tell a little bit about my story. So I know, right? They gave me I have a little bit of media training. So it's a variety of things that they use me for. It just worked out that I'm good at talking.
Yeah.
And that I like public health and that I have experience in public health and that I'm also connected to people, right? That I have a social media presence so that I'm able to recruit volunteers. So I just happen to have all the pieces.
Yeah,
for it,
that's what I was right? going to say. You had like every sort of puzzle piece and it just fit together for this role.
Yeah. But again, it wasn't like I applied for it. It wasn't planned. It wasn't any of that, really.
You talked a lot about like the volunteer work you did, but that's not, I mean, yes, public health, it's great to have volunteers and some programs rely on volunteers, but you don't have to have a career, like you can have a career in public health and it be paid.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. So what kind of like different roles could people explore?
Yeah. So I worked for a nonprofit dental clinic, and there's a variety. There's fairly qualified healthcare centers, which tend to have like better benefits, like student loan forgiveness and help with getting like a master's and for the education, things like that.
And that's FQHCs?
Yeah, FQHCs, fairly qualified healthcare centers. And then I work for a nonprofit. So basically we are funded through community donations and grants, community grants. We're not funded by the government. Then there's like county clinics. You can go work for the county as well. And then they're funded by the county, right? But if you're looking for a job like that, I would go to like HRSA.org. You put in your zip code and it'll tell you clinics in that area. You can also you can also go to the Association of Free and Charitable Clinics. And you can select your state and again, put in the zip code and they'll have clinics that maybe are nonprofits in that area that you can reach out to. A lot of times it's people who already volunteer there, who will get the jobs. But honestly, right now I'm at a clinic, San Jose Clinic, and I volunteer there. We see people who are low income and uninsured, survivors of human trafficking, and people who've been recently released from incarceration. And the survivors of human trafficking don't pay anything. They have a grant for that. They also have like a grant for children. If I don't know when this is going to really release, but we're doing we're doing a dental care day for free for children. We're doing exams, sealants, x-rays, hygiene, and fillings for children. So if anybody wants to volunteer, send me a DM. If you want to volunteer, you can also look at Mission of Mercies, like the Mission of Mercy in your state. You can look at ramusa.org. They have events all over the U.S. They're like Mission of Mercy, where they do like medical, dental, and vision, but it's also very like triage kind of care. So like emergent care, you're probably doing a lot of debridements, honestly. So,
yeah.
But those are great events who always need assistance. But yeah, you can go and work there. We're actually looking for a hygienist at San Jose Clinic. Everybody's looking for a job. We do tend to get paid less, right? We don't not get paid whatever it is you're going to be out of prior practice. But you do tend to have benefits. So insurance, paid time off, holidays. San Jose even pays for your insurance, which is nice.
Yeah, not every place does.
Yeah. So you don't pay anything out of pocket for your insurance. It's really, really nice. So they, you know, there are benefits, but then they only pay $4 an hour when in the rest of Houston, you can probably make, I don't know, 50, 55 an hour. You can make a lot. So that's kind of tough, but you can go work there. Or work at a nonprofit or FQHC. I was a director of a nonprofit dental clinic, which means that I managed, the clinic, the budget, the employees, supplies, trying to get donations, trying to get volunteers, those types of things. I'll say that was a hard role. That was really, really hard for me.
Yeah.
A conversation for a different day, but that was a hard job. I mean, doing reports on, like, if you have a grant, you have to do reports for your grants or applying for grants. You can do that. But yeah, you can work for a ceiling program. I know a hygienist, Jessica, in Nevada, who is looking, I think, for hygienists to work in her ceiling-based program. So there's opportunities to, yeah, work in. I have a friend, Maxine Cordova, we should have her on the podcast sometime. She worked in a prison, seeing patients. Yeah. That was, she said, cool and interesting gig. Yeah. There's for sure. You can work for mobile dentistry and portable dentistry. There's people who work in like dental vans who go to schools or work with people with disabilities. I also did a program with Dr. Frey, who is a dentist at the University of Texas School of Dentistry at Houston. Amazing.
I bet.
Where we would simulate the dental visit. And so basically it was adults with intellectual disabilities. And we would come into a room and the dental students and the hygiene students and me would see them on camera. Like we were in a different room, like in a conference room, seeing them on camera. And Dr. Frey was in one room with the patient and each visit was a little different. Maybe today is just like sitting in a chair, you know? Okay. Then sitting in a chair and us holding a flashlight, sitting in the chair and putting a like paper on their chest. And it wasn't like exactly dental stuff. It was just like simulating the dental visit. The goal was to eventually get them to a point where we could get them into the dental clinic and do an exam and things on them, you know. And there were some patients who like usually would figure out like, oh, for them it was the chain, the bib clip that was like scared them. And so then we know we don't use that, right? And so doing that kind of desensitizing dental care was really good. You can volunteer for the Special Olympics. You can become a, I think they're called directors, where they'll provide you free training to do that. You can go on the website.
I do have a spot for public health too, just the way I grew up, and I'll tell my story a different day. But yeah, sometimes it's just like you don't know it's out there or you think it's only a volunteer arena. And sometimes it can be hard to hear what's going on without people telling you or without being in your face.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that if you maybe don't want it to be your full-time job, maybe you just wanted to do outreach, you could also do that. So I'll tell you some resources. The ADHA has the Mars-Wrigley grant. They have several grants you can apply for. And you know, you lose every shot you don't take. So apply for everything. I think the number one tip I would give you is be very intentional about what you're writing. So if my bio for when I am applying for grants and support is not going to be the same bio as me as a speaker or my social media one, right? It's going to be one geared specifically to outreach and to the work that I've done. But ADHA has some great ones. You can apply for Crestor OB has their Closing America Small Gap campaign, formerly known as the Conquer Cavities campaign, available every February. And you can apply. And I've had lots of friends who apply who the year I got free electric toothbrushes for kids. But you've gotten product as well. I've had several friends get product. If you're a member of the Hispanic Dental Association, you can fill out a form with them if you're doing an outreach event with them and they can, if they have supplies, they'll send you some. You just have to pay for shipping. I'm always reaching out to like my local reps to see if they'll get me some. If you're working through the Hygiene Association, you can get discounts on the supplies that you order because they're a nonprofit or they're not for profit. Yeah, just honestly making connections. I used to post on social media. I used to hold drives with my local hygiene component, like, okay, hey, they're having a CE, you know, somebody having a CE, ask them if they're willing to do a donation drive for you. Hey, if, and then they'll send an email to everybody who's coming, let them know like, hey, we're holding a drive. Can you, everybody bring toothbrushes or toothpaste or gloves or whatever it is that you're looking for? It is a lot about networking. The other like really big thing I do is at conferences at the very, very end, I will go up to those booths that have things that I know that I need and be like, hey, I work in public health. Can I have some of your stuff? And then I end up getting
into because they don't want to take it back either. They don't want to pack it.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to take it back either. Yeah. And then letting people know about your work. A lot of people reach out to me. They're like, hey, can I get some stuff from you? I actually don't have any stuff.
You're trying to recruit this stuff.
I also have to. And sometimes I end up buying my own stuff too. I end up buying toothbrushes and toothpaste if I have to. Like sometimes I get lucky. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Yeah. And I mean, know that you don't have to be perfect. So maybe you can't afford to buy toothbrush, toothpaste, and floss. Maybe just buy toothbrushes this time then. You know, I think being creative in like what you're doing. I've worked with Q Optics donated loops to me so I could raffle off and sell tickets. And then with those tickets, I was able, the profits from those tickets, I was able to buy a portable dental equipment. You know, so you have to be creative. Sometimes social media has helped me a lot and be able to like exchange a post for product, for, you know, for equipment. Just gotta be kind of creative. You don't have to do all the things. You can pick one thing that interests you. Maybe meets the elderly. Like I've never done nursing home. That's like the one like thing that I haven't done. I've done pretty much every other, well, not everything, but I've done a lot.
We did nursing home as a school project and it was not a good experience. I mean, not with the patients, but with the staff. It was just really, really hard in communicating the need for oral health and oral care. But then also that shows that education needs to be there amongst them. But we had a friend also, Carly, who worked in nursing homes. We should talk to her one day.
Yeah, yeah. She calls it her denture adventure.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you, Amber, for sharing your story. As you guys can see, we don't have Amy here. Amber and I are on the road with Closing America's Smile Gap. And so this was a perfect opportunity to hear her story and how she got into public health. So thank you, Amber.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Positively Hygiene.
Join us every Tuesday for a new episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram for the opportunity for how you can contribute to our podcast.
And follow and review Positively Hygiene on Apple and Spotify Podcasts.